Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the My Life, Your Life Together podcast. Zach, and today we are joined by Blake Green, who, beyond reason, decided to be a guest on our show. It's great. So Blake has his own podcast, the Blake Green Comedy Podcast, right?
Yes, sir.
That's okay, right. You're a stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. You've acted and directed some short films, if I read your website correctly.
That's right.
Okay. And I believe quite a few years as a radio host in your state.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. 5 years on the radio. That's awesome. And then I had a little extra. I worked at another radio station for like, I think, 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
And so, yeah, 5 years and 3 months.
That's awesome. So, what came first, the radio hosting or the comedy, like the stand-up comedy?
Radio came first. I got into radio just from sort of being obsessed. Like back in high school, like on the way to school, I would listen to the radio, and eventually worked for the same radio station that I used to listen to.
Oh, that's cool.
Which was WQSB 105.1 and Mix 102.9. I don't work there anymore. It was about a 5-year run that I had with them, and that ultimately led to comedy. I started doing from there. Started booking some comedy shows, started doing some comedy open mic. And then this my podcast was born. And so just because I loved radio and I wanted to continue my radio path, and I'm like, well, I'll make my own little show. And
nice.
And so how long have you guys done your podcast?
We're going on, what, 10 months?
Yeah, so
like that's great.
I released the Meet Your Host teaser episode the last week of June, and then started in July with trying to do weekly episodes. And like, I knew nothing about podcasting, editing, producing, I had zero experience in everything. So I grossly underestimated what was actually
the amount of work involved.
I skipped a few weeks here or there. Once Zach came on as co-host, it was definitely more smooth because it was like, he's a good accountability partner.
Okay.
To be like, hey, we recording this week? What are we recording? What are we?
And what are we doing? Yeah.
Yep.
We took about 3 or 4 weeks off at the end of last year, just with like holidays and stuff, which was beautiful. And it kind of gave us time to formulate this plan of, all right, the new year is going to start and we're going to rip through recording episodes. So we've done some batch recordings, some back-to-back recordings, and I try to edit and get the podcast uploaded like a week or two in advance now. So it's slowly coming together. And as it's coming together, I want to do more.
Let me compliment your studio setup. I mean, I was saying before we got on the air here, I love the tortilla table
tortilla
there.
Tortilla blanket. Yes. Yep.
I think you could have a t-shirt that just says tortilla blanket. I would buy that, you know.
I think we should do it.
That's a good idea.
Or maybe like your logo, like My Life, Your Life Together, and then the t-shirt is a tortilla, you know.
Like, that would be. that's an awesome
step further. Just do a poncho.
A tortilla poncho?
I love it. Yeah, I'd buy it. Poncho.
So my dad got me this as a gag gift one Christmas. He was just like, oh, I saw it online and I thought of you. Like, you can wrap yourself like a burrito. It's going to be great.
Right.
And I was like, all right, cool. And I mean, I use it every day on the couch because I'm not even going to lie. Like, I hang out on my couch in my pajamas with this thing on, and then it's our noise reduction apparatus on our
noise canceling table blanket.
Well, I got to tell you, I've worked in food service, and that thing looks slightly overcooked. I'm not going to lie. that's a little char mark right there. That's, you know.
Hold on a second. Where in food service? Because if you were like an Italian restaurant, I'm not going to take your word for Mexican cuisine.
Let's see. Do I want to blow Taco it up? Bell. I've done some Tex-Mex. I've done.
Okay.
I worked.
Dang it! I got to listen to you.
I've worked at Bucky's.
Hey.
And I know that you're supposed to cook a tortilla for exactly 9 seconds, okay?
Really?
Okay.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that you grew up in Texas on the border.
Yeah, I didn't cook tortillas.
You had other people cooking for you? Lazy.
I
mean,
I was not skilled at making tortillas. I think I actually did try once, and I'm pretty sure I burned it. That tracks.
They cook very quickly. It's like if you don't flip it, like within 9 or 10 seconds, it's going to burn.
I cook meat well.
Tortilla, the unforgiving food.
Yeah.
What do you like to cook? What meat do you cook?
Oh, I love to. I love to smoke meat. Okay. I've got a smoker, so I love doing briskets. I love doing venison. Okay. I'll do like a smoked venison roast. I do a good smoked turkey.
Okay.
So
I do not cook
really. I'll find a meat and be like, all right, let's figure out how to smoke it. Let's find a recipe and try it out. So
okay, nice.
Yeah, he tried to feed me crow.
I tried to feed you what?
Crow.
No, I didn't.
You did.
What are you talking about?
That's a true story I made up.
It's a true story I made up.
What were you going to say, Blake?
I was going to say I do not cook at all. Mostly drive-through is my game because it's like I have no time in my life.
That's fair.
And so it's constant, you know, going through the drive-through, just getting something quick. And then, like, when I'm at home, I try to get, like, if I'm cooking, I try to really cook healthy and just get, I mean, I get stuff that's, like, pre-cooked. So I get, like, pre-cooked chicken and stick in the microwave. You know, I'm slowly cooking my brain every day, every meal.
Whatever works.
One meal at a time. The radiation just,
you know. Just soak it in.
It's all a myth. It's all a myth.
I don't know about that, but so... Blake, I'm curious, how did you get started on the radio show? You said you listened to it growing up. You were interested in it. So how'd you jump into getting into radio?
I went into the station that I used to listen to. I just went there. I found their address, and I went to the station and just I asked if they had any like jobs available, and they were like, "Well, we might have something like, you know, part time," and they. I ended up getting an interview, which was kind of lucky, actually. And then I started on a basically just what they would do. I would go and do remotes. Like we would set up at different events and spin a prize wheel and like have listeners walk up, would spin a prize wheel and give away like t-shirts and hats and stuff. And so I kind of started doing that, which was like just like a couple times a month. And then that eventually led to they put me on. Pretty quickly, they put me on a weekend radio show. And so I had like Sunday afternoon was what I did. And it was like noon to six. I was pretty happy because I was actually on the air at that point. And so they kind of told me the format of like how their radio station worked. And like they had certain points that they wanted me to talk. And you had to play commercials and music. And it was mostly a music show. It wasn't like a talk show. So it was more like, you know, we've been playing.
That was going to be my next question.
Okay. Yeah. So it was music mostly. And then I would, you know, break in there and, hey, thanks for listening, you know, and taking requests, you know, just kind of little bits that I did. And so it would be like, I think an hour, I would probably talk 5 or 6 times an hour. And so it was like a really sweet gig. I started doing that just on the weekends on Sundays. And then, you know, my name is Blake. The guy that they had doing the nighttime show, his name was Blake, and he quit. He quit. He put in his 2-week notice, and they're like, oh, "We need somebody to cover that shift." Hey, your name's Blake. Why don't you just step
flow
over
on
here.
Over?
Yeah. So I started doing nights, and I did that for like I think 3.5 years. It was like 7 to midnight every night, and it was like 6 days a week. 7 to midnight. That's not really important. Mm-hmm. But I did that. And then after that, it grew to I eventually got the morning show on their sister station. And so I was doing mornings for a long time. And it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. I had a co-host and then later ended up having a different co-host. And then eventually that person left and it was just me by myself. On the morning show, which ultimately maybe was a little a precursor to my podcast. Nice. My podcast is just me by myself. But it was, a little bit of turnover with that radio station. Like we had people that would leave. But I really enjoyed working there and worked for 5 years.
Wow. So with, you said that you started out like in that afternoon show was mostly the music and stuff. As it transitioned to the morning show, was that more of a talk show style?
Or it was still music, but it was definitely more talking, because on the morning show we were doing had to do more interviews. We had to interview like they would have advertisers that would call in, and so we had to talk to there was like a car lot. There was a guy at a car lot that we talked to, and there was a woman at a bookstore that we talked to every week. And so those were just like these weekly little interviews that we did that were like probably a minute and a minute and a half, or a minute to 5 minutes, you know, anywhere between a minute and 5 minute interviews. And we would just get on there and kind of discuss whatever they were doing for that week. We talked to a thrift shop. And so it was definitely a lot more like talk heavy.
Yeah.
Played less music. But we also had more kind of contest opportunities. So we did a contest where every week we would deliver 24 donuts to one lucky office, and they would just go online and submit. And then we would like pick a random winner, and then like we would just show up with 24 donuts.
Oh, congrats, awesome. You get donuts.
So the kind of the funny thing there is that in my phone still, I have like hundreds of pictures of me giving donuts to a bunch of strangers. That's awesome. So, it was a lot of fun. Like, radio is a lot of fun. If you guys ever get a chance to be on the radio, it's so much fun. And, it's just a really, it's a really great job.
That's awesome.
And radio people love podcasts. Like they, I was on the radio station, they wanted me to start a podcast, and I had one that failed called, Confessions of a Concert Goer. And, I think we did 5 or 6 episodes, and we gave away some Blake Shelton tickets, and then it completely bombed. Like we're not doing this anymore, because it was me and two girls that I went to high school with, and like they were very unprofessional.
Okay. I was going to ask what made it tank.
I didn't want to do it anymore. That's what made it tank. Yeah, they were. It was just
that's fair.
They were kind of, I don't know. They would get on there and.
Just didn't work out.
It just didn't work out. They would get on there and cuss and like do a bunch of other stuff. I'm like, y'all, we can't cuss on this. This is for the radio station. We can't cuss on this. And they would do it anyway. I have to go in there and like edit it. And they were terrible, but it's okay.
They were terrible, but it's okay.
They just killed the whole podcast.
They killed the podcast for me. I couldn't do it. I couldn't take it. Anyway, so that
I'm curious. Because I've have no experience in radio. With the music, do they tell you what to play, or do you get to pick what you play, or is it like you hit shuffle and it, like, how does that work?
They have a schedule for the whole week, basically, of like what is supposed to play at what times. Yeah. You can go in there and if somebody would make a request from time to time, you could like put in another song or take one out. Sometimes I would see a song I didn't like, and I just take it out. Yeah.
You're like, nope, we ain't playing that. I don't like that song.
I've heard that one 5 times today. I'm not going to hear it for number 6.
At the station that had a lot of turnover, did anybody on their way out just go rogue and start playing some wild music?
It was me.
You're like, of course I know him. He's me.
It was a country station, and it was like new country, so it was, you know, more like Blake Shelton and Luke Bryan. I would get in trouble because like at 9 o'clock at night, I would continue to play like Hank Williams Jr., you know, which is like even it's old like school. Old. Yeah, you know, and like this person would call in and request it like every night, and I'd play it like every night. And, eventually, like the program director came in there and he's like, you know, every night at 9 o'clock, you've been playing that same song this week, every night. And Hank, we're not even supposed to play it ever. And you're playing it every night this week. You know, and I'm like, yeah. Okay.
You're so, like, I am, deal with it.
Give the people what they want.
It's 9 o'clock at night. You think, I mean, there's not that many people listening in, probably, you know?
That's funny.
Well, I mean, and that's one thing, you know, you should never say to your program director in radio. There's not that many people listening, you know, I just do whatever I want.
What, you think people actually pay attention to
us? Job security is not a real thing.
Do you think people are listening to me at 9 o'clock at night?
Do you prefer the radio over podcast, like the live recording versus the where you get to kind of fine tune the finished product?
I think I like podcasting because I like to be in control. I like to have, I like to be in charge. I like to be the boss of my own format. But I mean, radio was so much fun and like I had a blast. Like I loved doing contests. We did one called the Secret Sound Contest, which I feel like every radio station has kind of done this. We did a contest called the Secret Sound Contest and basically would play just kind of a random sound over the air. Listeners would have to call in and guess what that sound was. And if they got it right, they won money. Okay. But it would be like, if they got it wrong, the money would go up like every time.
Oh, wow.
And so we'd start.
That's actually kind of cool.
Right. So we started at like $100 and then it would go up like 150, 200, 250. And oh my goodness. At first, when they first started this, it was like there was no cap on it. So it could just go to infinity.
Poor planning.
And so, yes, very poor planning. And so I think one time it got to like $1,500 or something, which, you know,
and that's they're a like, mortgage. Cut it.
That's a mortgage payment for somebody, yeah. You know? So we had tried to play the Secret Sound Contest. It's at $1,500. And then all of a sudden, all right, I should have mentioned this a second ago. When it's time to play the contest, like the phone doesn't ring. There's a flashing light in the studio. Okay.
Yeah.
And so we had two phone lines and like the strobe would flash when it's ringing. And it would also light up on the console. And so anyway, we got these high stakes, $1,500 or whatever, Secret Sound. Nobody's guessed it yet. Here we are. And it's like time to play. We played the Secret Sound. I'm like, all right, everybody call in and guess the Secret Sound. The phone lines crashed because
so many people were calling in.
So many people called into the show and like it was just the light was going crazy in the studio and to the point that the phone lines actually crashed and we had to shut down the whole contest for the day and like bring in the IT department.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Eventually they finally put a cap on it. They're like, we're not going above $500. So
do you remember what that sound was from that $1,500?
The one sound I remember was one that I recorded myself, but I don't remember what that particular one was.
Okay.
But the one I recorded myself was a claw machine at an arcade.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I
never would be able to guess that.
It's kind of a tough sound to hear.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I had like a little bit of an arcade like obsession for a while, but yeah, I can't remember what that particular one was. But that gave me a headache. I was in the studio that day. I'm like, just the level. I couldn't answer the phone. I was trying to answer the phone, and it wouldn't. It's like
it wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work.
Oh
man, I would have played like silence, just dead air, and see if anybody called and be like, oh, it's an ice cream truck. Like how many people actually listened rather than just called and guessed?
I think we had to get on the air and say, I'm sorry, we can't even answer the phones right now. You know,
our phones are dead.
You guys broke us. We broke ourselves. Come back tomorrow.
We did this to ourselves at this point. Dang. But, you know, that's kind of brings up another, if I could really quick,
yeah,
brings
go
up
for
another
it.
Really kind of funny thing that would happen sometimes. We would cover storms, like if there was bad weather.
Yeah,
we would get a couple of DJs in the studio to cover, like, do the weather coverage, and we had radar, and we would be, you know, looking at the radar and telling listeners what's going on, what to expect in the next hour or so. And there would be times where it never happened to me personally, but I heard one of my fellow DJs say that he was in the studio once, and it was really heavy rainfall, severe thunderstorm, and there was a lightning strike to the tower of the radio, radio station. And so when that happened, he said the headphones went just static.
Yeah.
and you couldn't, you were no longer on the air. It was just all static.
Yeah.
And,
just killed the station.
It's kind of like getting zapped by,
yeah,
you know, by the lightning yourself. Like,
that sounds horrible.
Imagine doing your podcast and just getting
all of a sudden, like, oh.
I'd probably quit. I'd be like, oh, it's not worth it.
You'd be like, nope, done.
Sorry, guys.
That's wild.
I wonder how many podcasters have been killed by a lightning strike.
By a lightning strike?
Find out
through
that
their equipment.
If you've been killed by a lightning strike from a podcast, let us know.
We want to talk to you. Yeah.
Yes. No, we're going to get some strange requests from like mediums or something like that, and I don't want to deal with that. No, thank you. So did you start doing stand-up comedy while you were still radio hosting, or did that come after?
It was towards the end. I had actually gotten booked for a paid show. It was my first paid show I ever got booked for at a comedy club, and I went there, and I was still on the radio at the time, but like that was towards the end of my radio career. I don't know if the two were, if that was a coincidence or, you know, okay. So I started doing comedy and they're like, eh, we don't know about this guy anymore. You know,
what? He started getting into comedy and they're like, nah, they're get him off.
This is not so good.
So what made you interested in doing comedy?
I think radio really got me into it because...
Yeah, because you're not a funny person at all.
I know. It doesn't work.
You're very dry.
It really doesn't work. I mean, it doesn't make sense. your listeners are going to be like, hey, I thought this was a comedy show. Wait a second. You said you're like a comedian. to answer your question, it was, radio, kind of, we would go, you know, going and doing these events, talking on the microphone, you will try to be funny and, you know, get people laughing and, you know, unlike right now, but, you know.
unlike right now.
but, yeah, it was, and sometimes, like, we would go and put on bands, like, if there was a band in the area at a local event, we would, like, kind of MC for the band, you know.
Yeah.
If they had advertised with the radio station, we would show up and, you know, maybe give away some t-shirts and just kind of introduce the band. Say, hey, who's ready for, you know, Uncle Cracker?
Whatever.
Whatever.
Did you really give away t-shirts at one of those shows? Or did you pull that out of thin air?
Yeah, we would give away t-shirts. Yeah, we did that all the time. Like, we would sometimes, like, throw t-shirts, like, out to the crowd, you know.
Never
like,
been to a concert that gave away t-shirts.
Oh, really?
Really? Really?
Sometimes you get the t-shirt cannon at the concert.
Yeah. I was like, I have. I've never been lucky enough to catch one.
I've caught t-shirts at lacrosse games before here, but like never concerts.
I always wanted to do the t-shirt cannon like at our events, but it was such close range. I knew I'd probably kill somebody if I did that.
You're like, boom.
But like,
knock someone over.
I mean, if I died from a t-shirt cannon to the face, what a way to go.
I mean, that's the way
it's
to
good
go.
Story. You get to heaven. How did you die?
T-shirt cannon.
T-shirt cannon. Yeah.
I got shot.
What if you got shot with the tortilla t-shirt? That would be worse.
That's even better. Like, I'm getting buried open casket wearing the thing. Well, I guess not buried open casket. The wake would be open casket. I don't.
You just throw the dirt right on me.
Yeah.
Forget the coffin, just throw me in the hole.
No, just lay me down on the table, and I'll be the new soundproofing.
Oh, Lord.
Does this have to come out? I feel like this part might have to come. Nah, it's fine. It's all
no,
fine.
No, leave it in. That's
our
funny.
Show. Do you have a question? Because I have a question.
Yeah, go for it.
Do you ever do stand-up comedy sitting down?
I have never done that. I mean, I feel like only Dave Chappelle can pull that off, you know?
Oh, what a guy.
I can't do that. It's like, I kind of feel... I think maybe it is because my humor is a little bit dry. Like if I'm also sitting, they're gonna be like, "This is just what is this? Is this
I
like
love
a,
dry humor?
Is this poetry? Is this is this a spoken word? That's happening right now? Is he playing an invisible instrument?
just sitting down, roasting,
sitting down
people.
Talking.
do you have like comedians that kind of like? You use as reference or inspiration that like made you want to start doing it more?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a fan of, you know, Chris Rock and Jerry Seinfeld and Bill Burr. I love Dave Chappelle, and I love, I mean, really all the giants. I'm really a fan of, and I try to just, you know, learn from them as much as I can. Bill Burr is really the one that really got me interested in comedy, because I used to listen to his podcast a lot. Monday morning podcast I would listen to just all the time, and I love the ones where he like gets on there with his wife and they talk back and forth. And I had my wife on one episode of my show, and she has refused to do any other episodes. Like,
oh, I got to go listen to that one now.
I think it's the most popular episode. It was episode number 5.
Okay,
see, that's how you convince her. You're like, babe, it worked.
Why didn't she like it?
I don't know. I mean, she's just not a big fan of my comedy, I think.
Stop it.
She doesn't find you funny.
She's not. No. She's like you guys. She's like, why are you doing comedy? You're not good at it. No.
Oh, I hope she, oh my goodness.
So where do you get your material from? Do you sit and like come up with material, or are you more of like a go with the flow, like flow with your audience and kind of spontaneous?
I really try to come up with good material, and I carry a notebook or like just a little small notebook, and you know, anybody can, you can just write it in your phone, which I do sometimes, but like I try to begin the writing process as soon as possible, because like the quicker you get it in your brain, the better. And so I'll have like a little notebook, and then I'll go home and either type it up or like put it in a larger notebook and just kind of expand on it. So I'll just write like little ideas throughout the day that I think of. But I notice like sometimes like the bits that I work really hard on that I think are really good, people don't seem to like them that much. And so a lot of times I'll have to like break. I have to break and find some way to make it funny, or just find some way to like, you know, put the crowd at ease, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that's kind of what open mic's all about. You go to an open mic night and just kind of try out some stuff, and you can kind of see if they like it or don't really like it, you know? And some comedians like Steve Martin will like scrap a bit. Like if it doesn't work, I've heard him say like, if it doesn't work the first night, it's gone, you know? But like, I think the more popular opinion is like, if it doesn't work the first time, maybe try to find some way to fix it to where it does work.
Yeah.
So it may be like, you may start with a bit and then it may end as a totally different bit, like 3 months down the road, you know? So I kind of think there's something funny about everything, you know, there's humor everywhere. It's kind of like, karate, like the Karate Kid, like Kung Fu is in everything, you know? Karate is, comedy is in everything, you know,
except comedy is in karate. Podcast.
So you went out to wax
Why are you
harder?
Making fun of my podcast? Our podcast.
No, I'm not. I was
recording over.
End.
Recording over.
He's done. He's canceled.
I've had
scrap this.
I've had like a few friends tell me to either like try out like an open mic night or something like something like that, or like improv was another one people told me I should try, and I'm like, I like observational humor, and I like off the cuff stuff. If you put me in like a spotlight in front of people and the sole purpose of my existence is to be their entertainment in the form of humor, I think I would fail miserably.
Well, it's,
I think
like,
I would overthink it all.
You kind of have to, like, on some level, you have to not care what the outcome is, you know? You have to not care if they like it or not, and kind of have that sort of approach, like, this is, so it's like, this is what I think is funny, and like, here it is, you know. And by the way, like, I love y'all's podcast. I think y'all have a great podcast. I was not trying to take
away
from
the podcast. Oh, no. I know you weren't. Don't worry.
I was talking about my end of it. My end.
It's all sarcasm here. We're very sarcastic people, too. So we have dry humor as well.
You guys would be good at it, I think. You know, you just get up on stage and try out some stuff that you think is funny. You know.
See, I feel like that would be terrifying, because I'm like, if you get up there and like How do you roll with if you get up there and throw out a bit, you know, and just dead silence?
Oh, no.
Like, nobody laughs. It's just not... Like, if I do that with a friend and I make a joke and they... It just falls flat. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to just...
Yeah. Then he can call me an idiot for not laughing. And you can't call a room full of 30 people an idiot.
I'm going to give you guys comedy 101. This is lesson, hit me. Lesson number one. That is what's known as bombing. That is a bomb. When you tell a joke that gets nothing, you are bombing. Okay, so how do I deal with it?
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple ways you could deal with it. You could just pretend like everything is okay.
You know? You meant to bomb?
Like, yeah. You know, just pretend. Find some way to make it, you know, this is all just part of your style. You know, this is, you're okay with bombing, you know. And basically, I think the way to do that is just, if you tell a joke and it bombs, move on immediately to the next thing. Okay. And, or if you could find some way to, all right, so here's an example of something I did recently. I was doing comedy in a coffee shop. And I was actually getting ready to do a show in Atlanta. It was kind of a big show in Atlanta. And I was there in the coffee shop. And I actually said, okay, you know, I did some of my regular act. And then I was like, to kind of get them warmed up. Mm-hmm. And then I said, I'm trying to do some jokes in Atlanta next week. And so I want to try out some new stuff. And so I told the joke and it completely bombed. Not one laugh. Not one chuckle. And I said, well, there's an example of a joke that I will not be telling in Atlanta. And then they laughed. So it was kind of, you can find some way to fix it in the moment, or find some way to just address it is good. Yeah. But it's also good to just move on and not care, I think.
Yeah.
It's more about like your confidence. Like if you bomb and just keep going, like eventually people won't. You're going to win them over eventually, you know?
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite comedians, he's super dry, Stephen Wright.
Oh, Stephen Wright, yeah.
Like, I remember the first time I got introduced to his comedy, and, like, he doesn't crack smiles. He just, it's so dead. And I was like, if I were to ever try a form of comedy, I'd be like, I'd want it to be like that, because – you could never tell if he was uncomfortable or like you couldn't tell what was going through his mind. It was always just delivery, move on. Didn't care what the audience reacted to.
Uh-huh.
And go ahead.
I was going to say, he has a very unique style. I try to be, God, you know, I really hate this too, because it seems like some comedians are not really doing well, but they eventually make people laugh just because they're up there screaming. Like, if you're up there just yelling and screaming.
Lewis Black.
Eventually, you're going to get some laughs, I think. Yeah. So, there's another technique. You know, if you're bombing, just start yelling.
Just yell.
Just, like, over-the-top antics.
I can do that, too.
See, I feel like I would be the awkward comedian where, like, I'll tell a joke and I'll start dying laughing at something that I think's funny and everyone's like, what is this guy doing?
There's another technique. Just laugh at your own jokes. You know?
Just contagious laughter.
Just start laughing by yourself. Yeah. And I have, this is the amateur approach, okay? But I've done this many times. And sometimes it's, if you're telling a joke and it doesn't work, that might be a good time to start taking shots at the audience, you know?
Oh, I can do that. Start roasting
people.
But I've decided kind of now that, like, I'm not even touching anybody in the audience. I'm not saying anything to anybody until there's a heckle, okay? A heckle.
I feel like that's a good rule.
This is lesson number two. A heckle is when somebody just yells out something random in the middle of your act, okay? And that's happened many times also. But
and that's when you t-shirt cannon them in the face.
It's really, if you're not funny, like if you go up there and you're not funny. Yes, exactly. That's when you pull out the t-shirt cannon and just
smoke.
Commit a homicide.
Oh, no.
But look, so if you're up there and you're telling a joke and it's not working, that's not the audience's fault, okay? But yeah. If someone heckles, now it's kind of fair game. You know what I mean? Now it's like okay, you're going to attack me? Well, here's what I've got to say, you know? And so... there's ways to handle a heckle. I had a, here's one for you. I had a, I was doing a show one time and, some people had brought in, like a service dog. We're doing the show at a bar and somebody brought in the service dog and like, I'm up there, we got an audience. I'm in the middle of telling my jokes and no one's laughing, but I hear this dog go, "Oh," in the background, and I'm like, "Well, the dog liked that joke. You know? You guys didn't like it, but the dog liked that joke, you know." And
when you brought up the dog, I thought you were about to tell me the story of how a dog barked, and then you just proceeded to roast the dog.
I'm glad it went the opposite way. I think I was like, "Why would you bring your dog into a restaurant? Don't you know they serve food here or something?" I can't even remember, you know. Like, that's a health hazard. But, I mean, if it's a service dog, that's okay, I guess. I mean, it's legal.
Right.
There's still probably dog hair in the sandwiches. But
I'm going to be very vague with this story for a few different reasons. Where I work, we can write notes about somebody needing a service animal. Because, again, it's not a regulated thing, right? A support animal, rather. Service animals are regulated. Support animals aren't. We have somebody we know a person who has multiple dogs, cats. Yeah. I think they have some type of farm animal as well. But then they own a peacock. And so we got this phone call one day where like we had written a note for the dog, you know, the person in charge of this person. Oh, my dogs.
Speaking of dogs.
Speaking of not service animals, my dogs.
Dog has an opinion on that, actually.
Yes, my dogs are not service animals, nor do they support me emotionally. They actually have a negative impact on me.
What are they, like right now where they're freaking out?
The type of barking they're doing leads me to believe somebody's at my house without my knowledge. So if anything happens to us, I'm going to need you to just figure out how to get law enforcement to my house, okay? It's on you.
Everything you just said could have been a comedy bit. Like, that was great.
Yes, I did it.
I don't have a service dog. My dogs don't service me at all. They actually hinder me, you know? That's a bit, man. I'm sorry. You should try that on stage.
I want to gift that to you as payment for coming on our show. You can, any story I tell, feel free to use. But we had told this guy that we'd only write a note for one animal. And so he was like, "All right, do my dog." Like a week later, the guy called back. He was like, I need my peacock. I can't function without my peacock. And we've never heard of writing a note for a support peacock. Like, how do we even do that? And
where this
was
like
an
on.
Yeah, no? that's basically what it was. This was like an ongoing thing for like 3 or 4 weeks. And finally, he somehow negotiated our office down to his dog and his cat. But the peacock was still like non-negotiable. Like, we're not doing emotional support peacock.
Look, this is my service hippopotamus, and I need a note
right.
for it.
Okay, yeah. No, I'd write a note for that. That'd be lit. Could you imagine just like somebody shows up to your comedy show with an emotional support hippopotamus? Mounted on top of it, he rides it in.
At that point, I blame the audience. You know,
if there's
a hippopotamus in the audience, that's the audience's fault for my show not being so good. You know,
yeah.
I was gonna say, I think it's also funny. Like, if comedians do it well with hecklers, I think that's sometimes some of the most funny material is just riffing back and forth with like someone in the audience.
Yeah. I told somebody to go home one time.
Yes. There was, tell me more.
Guy yelled out something super inappropriate that had nothing to do with my joke. I think you should like take a dump on stage or something. He said something stupid like that. And I was like, I think you should go home. You know? And just
Did he actually leave?
No.
Oh, man.
It was an ongoing battle for the next 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, how long is like a typical set for you?
Open mic night, usually 5 to 7 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, okay. You
know, and then if you get booked for like a longer, you know, the bigger show, you might do 10 or 12. Or if you're like a headliner, you might do like a whole hour. You know, I've never been a headliner. The most I've ever done at one time was 20 minutes. And that was the time I was, I had that paid show.
Nice.
And, yeah, 20 minutes, which is 20 minutes can be tough.
I was going to say that, like, depending on how it's going, it could feel like an eternity, right?
Yeah. And this was one of those where it kind of felt like an eternity. Like,
oh no.
And luckily it was, I was kind of, like, the audience was like mildly amused, you know, but they weren't like, you really want to try to keep their attention, you know, and, it was kind of a, battle, but I got them back. So it was just, sometimes like if you lose them a little bit, you have to kind of work to get them back. Yeah. You know, you got to do a funny little dance on stage or something to reel them back in. You know, I think I did an impression of a blue whale.
Can you do that now?
Ooh.
I'm dead.
It was something like that. I can't even remember what great. It was.
You didn't even make the noise. You dove whale. Off camera. That's commitment.
And I got the blue background, so it just looks like the ocean. You know?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, if I knew awesome. More about video editing, I would make it look like you were a whale in the moment when I go to release this.
Please do.
That's awesome.
I might have to outsource. I'm going to hit up Ronnie, our friend Ronnie. He could figure it out for me.
Fiverr.com. Fiverr.com. You could probably pay $5 for somebody to turn me into an actual blue whale.
Yeah. Ronnie is younger and smaller, and he has a broken arm right now, so I can make him do it for free.
Younger, smaller, and injured.
Yeah.
So who? Now you're assaulting injured people.
We already talked about killing people with t-shirt cannons. That's true. Assault shouldn't be.
That's like homicide, service dogs, blue whales. We're going to have the blue whale people coming after us, service dog people coming after us.
And he's 10 years in law enforcement, so.
Former cop.
That's great.
So who would you say that your comedy style is most like? What comedian do you think you were most akin to?
Oh my goodness, that's like I wish I could say. Like I feel like a musician, you know, kind of has like, oh, I'm like a mix of, you know, Jimi Hendrix and I've got a little John Mayer in me, and you know, yeah. like I don't know, I feel like maybe you kind of want to ultimately get a mix of everybody and kind of eventually have your own unique perspective. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I think it would be insulting to that to the comedian for me to say that I'm like that. You know what I mean? Like,
that's fair.
I mean, like if I were to say, I'm a big fan of Brian Regan, and I kind of try to style things.
I love Brian Regan.
He's the best. I mean, I'm the polar opposite in a lot of ways. You know, like his material is very clever, and mine is just very dumb sometimes. You know, like.
Do you know who Aaron Weber is?
No, I'm not familiar with Aaron Weber.
You should look him up. I saw him open, I forget what comedy show we're at. I think it was a show around here when John Crist came to town. And, but Aaron Weber, I think he's from Tennessee. And he was just one of those guys I knew nothing about. And then from the moment he opened his mouth, I was like, this dude's hilarious. And like, he kept everybody engaged all the time. And like, even I distinctly remember the first show that I saw him open for him at. I don't know. Like, I thought the joke was hilarious. I don't even remember the joke was, but like 60% of the people didn't laugh. And he just he lifted up his hat and like he dabbed his sweat for like an uncontrollable amount of time, and then slowly the laughs picked up, and then he just put his hat down, and then he just kept going. I was like, what a fun way to segue into something else. Just,
I've done that before, but it was real. Like I was like, oh,
you're like, I'm actually sweating.
That was like maybe a second ago when I was mentioning Brian Regan. I was like, I hope Brian Regan doesn't say this.
I can almost guarantee you. I love Brian Regan.
He's a genius. He's a genius to me. And like, he's here and I'm way that one way below the screen. You know what I mean? Like,
which is like absurd to think about because he can literally say cup of dirt. And millions of people are laugh,
right?
And then you're out there busting your hump, and people don't laugh. And geez, yeah, just saying cup of dirt. My
blue whale impression, trying to get a chuckle. You know,
no, you got more than a chuckle. That made me laugh. Cough.
You got a full on laugh out of that.
Yeah.
So, are you still? I know, and I'm interested to hear about the podcast. But are you still doing stand up gigs? While you're doing the podcast as well?
Yeah, I do open mic nights pretty much every week. Last couple of weeks, I've been off. I haven't done any. And so it tells me I'm fresh and I'm ready to do some. But I try to do every week just to try to keep the muscle, you know, getting stronger.
Yep.
And I write every day. And so right now I'm actually writing some more short films. I want to release some more short films in the summer. But, yeah, trying to practice the stand-up comedy constantly. Always trying to think of the funny thing. Always making little notes in my notebook. Trying to write, cut out time, 30 or 40 minutes to just sit down and write jokes every day. And then eventually I'll find some that are actually funny. And
that's awesome. So then with I had totally forgot you brought up the film stuff. What type of short films do you?
I did one comedy short. Well, actually, I've done three total, but the first one's just too embarrassing, so I took it down from my YouTube channel.
Oh no!
So I've done one comedy short film and one. It was a horror short film around Halloween, and so Big Dinner was a horror film and I should say scary film. The comedy film was one called Climbing Out, and that was a little rock climbing short film that we did, and it was that was the comedy one. So we're gonna do some more. I live at the beach now, so I've got a little more access to some cool locations.
Nice.
So I'm gonna do some more. I want to do more comedy short films, but I kind of like the horror genre also.
Okay.
I'm kind of open to some different, you know, things, but like kind of, I'd say comedy and, you know, scary are my two favorite things.
Yeah.
They're so similar. Again, the difference between comedy and scary is the music.
Whoa. That's good. Now I'm thinking about scary. So I'm not a big scary horror movie, scary or horror movie guy. But like last year, I decided that I wanted to start watching more scary movies, and now I'm just playing them in my head with like the Mario soundtrack behind them.
Uh-huh.
And you're right. That's just downright hilarious.
So we had like a couple when we did the scary movie. It was like a little, it's not like jump scare or anything, but it was more like kind of a psychological sort of thriller. Mm-hmm. And we had a couple of comedic moments in there. And so I try to get as much comedy in as I can. And I think I was just really inspired to do that just because it was kind of close to Halloween. It actually came out on Halloween day. And
that's
just
cool.
a little short 4-minute short film on my YouTube channel or BlakeGreenComedy.com. There's the plug.
Oh,
nice.
We were going to let you plug it anyway at the end. We always ask everybody.
Roll
credits.
You
guys are great, man. I love y'all's show. This is awesome. Thank y'all for having me on.
Yeah.
How many episodes have y'all done?
Where are we at now? We will have episode 31 coming out Wednesday, and then I have two more scheduled to come out with three more as like auxiliary episodes that I just keep edited on hand for in case of in case of emergency.
That's good.
We got a couple in the chamber.
We've been like blasting through recordings. My wife is due with our first child June 14th.
Congratulations, Steve.
Thank you very much. And I don't want to spend like the first month or so with as a family having to record episodes
or sit there editing while you're having a newborn baby.
What do you mean? Doesn't she just take care of him? What do I have to do?
You're like, I get to sit at home, right?
So, yeah, like, that was part of the push at the beginning of the year, was to stockpile episodes, to stay at least a week or 2 weeks ahead in editing, and then keep recording. So, like, we have two recordings today and one tomorrow, but we only release one a week.
That's so, very smart. That's really good. I'm always, like, week to week. Like, I'm like, you know, my show for next week will come out, you know, tomorrow. So,
yeah.
It's really not good because I run into all sorts of issues with that. So it's good to have kind of a bank of podcasts ready to drop.
It takes the stress off. So yeah, like next week or this coming week, we had done like a Ask Us Anything with the pastor of our church, which we split into two parts. So that'll come out this Wednesday. The Wednesday after will be, we recorded last week, but I want to push out sooner as our friend's band, New Monarchy, check them out on Spotify. And the then, yes. Yep. And then probably this one the week after, because just the way our episodes have been, we need a few weeks of funny. So
we had one day where we scheduled, it was a long day. We recorded five episodes in one day.
I didn't want to talk ever again.
Yeah. So it was like we put in a full probably 8+ hours recording that day. And almost all of those were like heavy episodes, you know, because some of our content, you know, we'll have on people talking about mental health, things like that. Like, so we had some like real heavy episodes, and then we like to break it up with doing funny ones, you know, like our Would You Rather one.
Would You Rather or
coming out is going to be hilarious.
The pick two to defend you, the rest will try and kill you. We do those episodes. And like, there's certain things that we've talked about. This is a hobby for us. We generate almost no revenue and definitely no income.
Yeah.
We want to do what makes it fun for us. Mm. What makes it fun for us is doing heavy episodes. And like something we're going to talk about soon, just some feedback I've gotten on those, but like, we're not going to stop doing those. We're not going to stop doing episodes like this, which are funny. We're not going to stop doing the Would You Rathers or the Pick Two episodes, because those are essentially me, him, and any two of our really good friends just spending time together, having a dumb conversation, but it is pretty entertaining to listen to. And some people are like, oh, that was just stupid. I was like, that's fine. We have, you know, 30 other episodes you can pick and choose from. Like,
if you don't like the funny one, you can go listen to a serious one.
Yeah.
That's a great attitude to have. And like, you know, even like Stan Lee, Marvel Comics, you know, I think he used to do a thing in the back of his comic book that was like, well, if you didn't like this comic book, you kind of owe us to read it because we gave you so many good ones, you know?
Yep.
I like that too.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
So how did you get into podcasting?
I loved Bill Burr's podcast. I used to listen to that all the time. And, he does one twice a week. Can you imagine?
That's a lot.
I used to do that. And I was like, that's what I want to do. I mean, I want to ultimately, you know, do comedy and podcasting and work as an actor, you know?
Yeah. So
I kind of locked in and just decided what I wanted to do. And so I've kind of just been gradually doing the podcast we've done. So we're coming up on this next episode, will be episode number 29 for me. So it's kind of cool. Like, we're kind of in the same realm of episodes.
I thought I remembered that.
But we have, like, so I started mine and I did 20 episodes and then I took a little break. Okay. And so I've just been back this year doing episodes, I think since January, I think. Yeah. So
nice.
And, or February. And this is, it's just fun. It's fun to get on and talk and, you know, just meet different people, network, and, you know, I feel like we're all like buddies now. Like, we could go out to lunch or something, you know?
Yeah.
If we weren't 3,000 miles away.
That's true.
Yeah, I didn't ask, where are you?
I'm in Alabama.
Okay. I think I told somebody Kentucky.
Yeah, you told me Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Oh, no.
Did I do so?
And he's gone.
South Alabama. And, okay. We were in the northern part of Alabama, and then we recently moved down in the last couple months. And you guys were in Albany, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
I don't hear much of an accent. Upstate New York. I don't hear much of an accent from you guys, honestly. I got to tell you.
So,
I should hope not from him.
Yeah. I'm actually not from New York. I'm originally from West Texas.
Okay. You're like my cousin. You're like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Texas is Alabama's overweight cousin, you know?
that tracks.
And I mean, I never thought of, like, upstate New York having an accent. A lot of people ask if I'm from Boston because I used to have a pretty heavy speech impediment. And that's all Boston is, right? It's just New
all
York
Bostonians with a speech impediment. Bostonians just have a speech impediment.
Bam!
Well, I mean, I would say you sound very kind of general American, you know, which is that's
general good. American.
general American.
Do you know how the salute came to be? Anyone?
No,
I don't.
So I heard this and I did zero research to see if it is confirmed.
This may not be
so
factual.
This could not be factual, but it had to do with like knights. Like way back when they had the helmets, when they would lift their visors, that's how they would hold it up. So when they were talking to like a superior, you'd look at them, and so they'd hold their visor up like this.
Huh.
And you can choose to believe the truth in that or not, because like I said, I have no idea if it's true. But
I was a drum major of my high school, and in the band, and so we would do like a salute, that's not like I'm not. That's really the only saluting I've ever done. I've never been in the military or anything.
In the PD, we had to salute. I'm hitting my mic and stuff, but so
I never had to salute anybody. But I salute probably 5 times a day just to people at work, just to see what they do. Yeah, I work in a doctor's office, so it makes zero sense.
Anytime I do a salute, it looks very sarcastic. It looks
like okay. It's like the, okay,
you're
buddy.
Saluting with a question mark. Okay. Like, do I do this?
That's awesome. So you said about 29 episodes. So do you have guests come on your podcast too? Or
I do occasionally. Mostly it's I meant to mention this earlier too, but it's usually me. It's usually just a solo episode, and that's kind of more like in Bill Burr style. Like he'll typically do a solo episode. So that's kind of what inspired me there, I guess. I'll do mostly solo episodes, and occasionally I'll have guests. And so I've decided, like with the solo episodes, those are audio only, and then the get episodes with the guests will have a video associated. And so. One thing, a lot of my episodes, just being a solo person, like they're very short, like they're usually between 15 and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And there was one week, I had a buddy listening to my show, and there was just one week where I was just like scraping the bottom of the barrel and just trying to plow through and continue my podcasting journey. And I think my episode was like 7 minutes or something. And my buddy listened in and he's like, "Hey, I heard your... heard your podcast the other day." I'm like, "Oh yeah," and he said, "Yeah, I got me from one end of the parking lot to the other." I'm like, "Well, thank you for listening." You know, I mean, but
that's awesome.
And I really encourage people to podcast. It's just a really, it's great because you are the boss. You're driving the ship the way you want it to go, and it's your own kind of creative process. And sometimes, if you're a podcaster, you got to keep going and you don't feel so creative. And so you got to put out your little 7-minute episodes.
Or when you have episodes that just fall completely flat, like our.
Stop it. Nope. Well, now I have to take this part out, numb nuts.
What? No, no, our History for Dummies one.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
What happened?
So I had this idea driving to work one day. I said. I said, we're going to recount America's history with no research.
Love it.
And then we're going to talk our way through it. Right? It should have been. In my mind, this is going to be like a 30 to 40 minute episode, which is shorter. Like, we're going on an hour and 15 minutes right now. This is going to be a shorter episode. It's going to be great. We started recording. He knows about wars, and that's about it.
I know a lot of our military
and it was history. Just like, we're recording it, and so many times I took out from the episode when I would be like, this is the worst thing we've ever done. Like, I don't want, and like, we said we would do two parts at the beginning of the first part. So we got done with the first part. I was like, I don't want to do another one. Like, this is going to be horrible. But we said we were going to. So we start recording the second part. And like, every 10 minutes, I was like, this sucks. I said, I hate this. I hate everything about it. And
they are like our least listened to episodes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
They're not too good.
But, you know, some people have found humor in them. Like, the greatest thing that's come through it was, what am I going to say?
You're going to say that George Washington Carver invented the peanut.
I stand by that. He invented the peanut. He invented the peanut.
We had a whole, like, argument about it on the episode. Like, he didn't invent it.
I think, she was 11 at the time. My 11-year-old niece texted me after she had listened to it. She was like, Uncle Zach, he invented ways to use the peanut. He didn't invent the peanut. I was like, go back to school. I'm 20 years your senior. Go away.
What do you know, kid? I've been around a lot longer than you. I know.
Right.
Yeah. I forget what I was doing. I was putting something in the dishwasher the other day.
I heard the accent there when you said washer. Yeah.
Washer.
That sounded more Southern, though.
Honestly. I was going to say, that's a Southern thing.
Yeah, that's my... I like to tell people my mouth moves faster than my brain does. But I brought that up. I was like, yeah, George Washington Carver invented the peanut. And it gets my wife so angry. It's brilliant. But yeah, like, we've had episodes fall flat. Like, there's one episode that we recorded, and about 20 minutes into it, I was like, nope, never seeing the light of day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I forget why. Like, I think we had a guest, like, drop out or something.
Yeah.
And we used to record on Thursday nights too. And so I was like, still come over. We'll just mess around, play some video games. And I was like, oh, let's record an episode of the podcast while playing a video game.
I love it.
And I picked a video game he's never played before, or at least not in the last decade of his life.
Yeah.
And so, like, we talked about almost nothing. Like, we were going to tell like funny stories about our past. And then I realized that.
It was mostly me griping about how I don't know how to play the video game and trying to figure out the controls.
And then the time...
it was terrible.
He told a great story, which I do want to incorporate into another episode. But what could have been maybe a 3 to 5 minute story was probably about 17 to 18 minutes.
Yeah.
About how he almost got eaten by a shark or something absurd like that. And it's a great story.
It is a pretty good story.
But it took like two and a half quarters of Madden to get through.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
Yeah, it's just that I might have the raw recording of that somewhere.
Wow. Someday when we get famous, it'll be in our documentary.
Before Zach was even a co-host, the very first episode that I recorded with my friend Ronnie, the scrawny kid who I'm going to assault later, and my friend Brian, it had to do like about AI, and I think it's about 32, 35 minutes. It's sitting in the folder. I've never edited it. I don't even know if the raw footage is still there because I've moved files around so much. But we went on like a tangent about Taylor Swift, which was something to behold. But it just like, it wouldn't make a good episode. So there it still just sits. I open up my folder every day and I'm like, maybe someday AI folder.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, like, so, you know, one thing that I've had, and this is when I did like the first 20 episodes, the reason I kind of decided to take a break, I think like the last few of those, like I only got like a couple of views. I think there's one where I spent like 2 hours on the episode, and it used to be, I've kind of just started to let it flow now a little bit more, but it used to be like I wanted to edit it to this perfect thing. And so it took me 2 hours to record it, to have a 20-minute podcast, you know, or a 30-minute podcast.
Holy moly.
It took like an hour of me getting like set up and like trying to do everything right and then try to go through and just edit every single thing. And it just, it became exhausting, you know, and I would like, I did all that and then I would have like four or five views at the end of it. And I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna take a little break. And so I think it's, I think it is good to occasionally, you know, take a break if you're like just overworked with it. But also I think it's way more important to just let each episode just flow and not worry about it being perfect, you know?
Yep.
There's no, and nobody cares that much. You know? Yeah. If you have, you know, 1,000 viewers, how many of them are sitting there going, this is not a perfectly edited episode, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
A couple of trolls in the comments, but like, who cares?
Oh man. I'd kill for trolls in the comments.
You know? Go to TikTok. Post on TikTok. You'll get lots of trolls.
Lots of trolls.
Fair. Yeah.
Like, I did one comedy set that I posted on TikTok, part of it. This guy was like, wow, that was not good. Or something like that. I was like, dude, really?
You're like, gee, thanks.
Who needs that? That guy was Bill Burr.
that guy was some casting director who was like, this guy's not
not coming to our show.
He's not going to be in this next. He's not going to be the next superhero. He's not going to be the next Spider-Man.
That was like, since we started doing video, I don't care less, but I don't focus on such individual, like when it's just audio, like if there's a mic pop, if there's just something, I'll cut out, 2.5 milliseconds of a recording, like something stupid. Whereas now with video, because you can see it, which I know most people listen to anyway and don't watch it on YouTube, but just the idea of like, all right, well, I'm just going to let it fly because again, we get, 30 to, it's, we have such a wide range, 30 to 60 listens an episode. So it's like,
okay,
who cares?
That's pretty good though. I mean, that's, definitely building that consistency. Yeah, there's a couple of moments like in this episode where I'm like, oh, I hope they cut that out. But like, I don't even know. I can't even remember.
Why didn't you say that? I told you at the moment, you got to say it.
I was going to say, I can't even remember what it was like at this point. So it's like, it kind of doesn't matter,
Oh, no, well, it's in there now.
When it comes out, it's not going to matter, I mean, like a minute later, I'll be like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that part or whatever, but.
Yeah. Well, and what was I going to say? Oh my gosh. I was going to say something and just dropped
out of my brain. You're embarrassing me in front of our new friend.
Well, while you're still thinking about that, let me just real quick, I'll just say, if it happened 60 seconds ago, it's in the past. You know what I mean? You got to let the past go.
The past is the past. The future is now.
Yep. Oh, I was going to, I remembered what I was going to say. We were talking about how many views we get. It was actually really funny because there for like 10 episodes straight, we had someone watching in the Netherlands.
Really?
And so, because our account can show us like what countries are listening in and all that stuff. And so we had a listener in the Netherlands, and the episode that we recorded that we like shouted out, like, that listener, like, hey, we got a listener in the Netherlands. Like, the episode one before that was the last one that they listened to. Yeah. So they never listened to the episode that they got shouted out in, and they haven't listened since.
I've done the same thing. So, like, I've got that same, those same analytics where it'll tell me, like, the country and, like, the city they're listening to. And so I'll shout out, and I'll be like, hey, thank you for listening in the UK. I appreciate it. Or, whatever. Thank you for listening in Canada. And then, I'll never see those people again. And I'm like, hey, what am I doing wrong? I got to get them back. But, like, I do get that. You probably see every week, like, there's different people from different areas, like, different. You'll get, like, one random person, which I wonder what that person is doing. You know what I mean? Like, are they sitting there going, like, oh, what is this? This is a brand new podcast. Let me listen in. Oh, that sucks. Or is that what, or like,
or do they actually listen to the full thing and be like,
They never comment.
Yeah,
you know, like the really cool listeners from the Netherlands never comment.
Yep.
They're always just silent judgers, I think.
they're looking down their nose at us.
Our listeners, we invite you to comment. If you like it, let us know. If you don't, let us know.
Listen, I've said it. I think I've said it everything I can to get people to give me feedback. And then this past week, I just started texting people that I know who've listened to it from the beginning for their feedback. And Apparently, I have to just actually accost people on their personal harass cellular device. It's fine.
Well, that's what it takes. You have to harass people. Because there's so much to listen to out there, you have to constantly be spamming people with your podcast. You know,
it gets hard though. I mean, I'll do social media posts on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Sometimes Tuesday too, and then usually Saturdays. Every other Saturday, I think it seems like we try and do like a Saturday update.
Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes people interact with them and sometimes they don't. And at least I can say I tried. College, at least I can say I tried.
This is show business, you know what I mean? So, like, even what I said earlier, like how I took a break. You know, when I came back, this is season two, you know what I mean? That was season one.
I like that.
This is season two, you know what I mean? So it's all how you spin it, I think. But that's like, if you can find some way to, like get your podcast out there, a lot of people will do like an email list, like a newsletter.
Yeah.
You can get people to sign up for your newsletter. Then you can send them develop your audience. I don't have a newsletter right now because I feel like that's definitely, I think it's a really good thing for the people who definitely care about your show and want to be a part of it. But like for the people who are just, you know, kind of noticing it, like it could be considered spam if you're constantly emailing them, you know. Hey, look at me. Yeah.
I think I got to give you a lot of credit for the social medias. I think you've been doing really well on the post, because he'll do like all sorts of, you know, almost like design, you know, poster posts, like I don't know how to.
I don't either. I don't know how I learned how to do it. I just
but it looks good.
Brand Does it crowd.
Use Canva?
No, I use Brand Crowd.
Okay.
And that's where I made my logo and then bought the logo. It was like just one of the cheaper places to buy your logo, but with it you can design pretty much anything. And for a while it just started out with like straightforward, you know, what probably a sixth grader learns in their digital art class at school now. And then the longer I did it, the more I putzed around with stuff and realized you can do videos or I can upload things to it and then mess with them. So, I mean, that's one of the things I like. It's just been fun to learn new things this whole journey.
I was just going to say, I use Canva pretty frequently, but anything you can find to like make your own designs. I saw y'all, like I was impressed with y'all's, like your artwork and your logo. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, that was all me. Every last bit of it was
me. It was.
You know, I mean, you got to take credit where you deserve credit, you know? I mean, it was all me.
You don't give credit, you take credit.
Oh, no. Holy moly.
But yeah. So, Blake, I think we're going to be wrapping up here pretty quick. Gotcha. Where can people find you if they want to come see one of your shows?
He's
if they want to listen to your podcast, if they want to, you know, connect with you and follow you, where can they find you?
BlakeGreenComedy.com. You will find all of those things. At BlakeGreenComedy, you can find me on social media. BlakeGreenComedy.com and the Blake Green Comedy Podcast is available everywhere except for Pandora and Sirius, because I mean, everywhere else
except for those.
That's fine. And as always, the links to all that will be in the description of the show, so you guys can just click on that. You don't even have to type it. I do all the work for you. Isn't that nice?
Yeah. And hey, You ought to make more of those shirts, so that then we can plug. You know, hey, go buy Blake's merch, and you know,
we'll do a little t-shirt exchange for sure.
There we go.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely,
thank you so much.
We enjoyed having you on. This was a ton of fun. I think we'd be interested in doing more episodes if you're ever interested. We'll keep in contact.
Definitely.
To all our listeners, viewers, thanks for tuning in and watching the show. If you like what we do, Again, like, subscribe, follow us. If you want to support us, go to our website. There's ways to support us, buy some merch. Oh, this is the debut. Well, this is another one of our t-shirts that we've had. This is a new t-shirt here.
You can't see it.
I love it.
We'll have to zoom in, but debut of our hats, our leather patch hats.
You guys are rocking and rolling. I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
I designed these specifically for his brother-in-law.
Yeah, these were actually a design request. So there's hats out there, and they come in all sorts of different colors. They're pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
I need like a 4X hat because I have an enormous forehead.
Listen.
Enormous forehead that just too much depth, you know.
I have a giant head myself. And
they fit him.
And they fit me. So I got you covered. Don't you worry.
Yeah. So, again, thank you guys for tuning in. Follow us, buy some merch, follow Blake, go see or go listen to his podcast. If you're in Southern Alabama, go see his shows, and we'll see you guys next time.